That one takes me right back to church camp. Speaking of Darcy, I don't know if you know that Lindsay and Nathan are here. Lindsay, Nathan, Darcy's here. I think you guys were the same week at camp like 20 years ago. Just FYI. I was a church camp counselor, and it's always fun to see the people I got to spend summers with. Before print and literacy were commonplace, the Christian story was told in two places, in two ways. The Christian story was spoken, and it was illustrated. Those illustrations took on new life when houses of worship were first built. You see, the early church did not have or use dedicated buildings. Instead, they met in homes to share with one another, much like our journey groups that you can sign up for today. See, I told you I would work it in. But this is our history as Christian people, to be together in homes and talk about life and talk about God. And so that's where the stories were shared. But when the church moved from those homes into the public sphere, a unique opportunity presented itself for the sharing of the gospel. Because in these new church buildings, there was now dedicated space where artistic depictions could stay. Hand-carved or painted icons, illustrations adorning the worship space, so that those who could not read could see and know the stories. And I tell you, as the ornate nature of these worship spaces grew in complexity and technological material, the stories of Jesus were eventually depicted in the windows using colored glass to literally illuminate the scriptures. It's that illumination, the light dancing in the colors, that offers such a rich metaphor for us. As we journey towards Easter through the season of Lent, we will be guided by the words of Elizabeth Kubler-Ross. Now, Dr. Kubler-Ross is best known for her work on death and dying. She was actually the first to identify stages of grief in our process of dealing with tragedy in the world. As a psychiatrist who was focused on death, she looked into some of the toughest times that humanity can experience. And having looked into those deep, difficult places, she had this to say about all of us. People are like stained glass windows. They sparkle and shine when the sun is out. But when the darkness sets in, their true beauty is revealed only if there is a light from within. This Lenten season, we will journey from window to window to window, letting the scriptures in glass around us illuminate this theme of sharing the light within. In a world that can feel dark, we will reclaim and restore our true beauty. We will find insight and advice in the big windows. Jesus knocking. Jesus the Good Shepherd, one you never get to see unless you're in the choir. Jesus praying in the garden. These big windows tell big stories. We will also find wisdom in the little hidden windows you've never seen or noticed, and we will bring their image into your space. The scriptures that are depicted in our windows were chosen out of thousands of possibilities. They were chosen as verses and stories. They were chosen by those who came before us. Those who came before us in this place looked at all of those verses and said, these are stories and scriptures that we do not want to forget. And the scriptures in the windows that depict them invite us all to share the light from within. Now, light plays an important role in the story of Jesus. I mean, when you're called the light of the world, it's hard to avoid. But Jesus wasn't the only one called the light of the world. You were too. Matthew tells us Jesus said it this way. You are the light of the world. A city on top of a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a basket. Instead, they put it on a lampstand, and it shines for all who are in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before all, that they might see the good things that you do and praise your God who is in heaven. You see, light plays an important role in your story too. Because when you're called the light of the world, it's hard to avoid. But let's track this for just a moment. The very Creator, the one who said, "Let there be light," and brought forth light into being, sent Jesus to be the light of the world, a light that would shine in the darkness that the darkness could not overcome. And then Jesus, that very same light of the world, looks upon us and declares that not only are we the light of the world, but that we should shine prominently from a hilltop or a lampstand, shining for the world to see. That's pretty big. The light that we carry, the light we are invited to share, has deep origins, deeper than we can fathom. And as we spend these next few weeks focused on sharing the light within, one of the things we are invited to reclaim is our connection to that source, a deep divine source that has chosen us and carries great faith in us to share a light the world needs so desperately. God knows our world needs to see light, and God knows we are capable of doing it. You know, that's something our stained glass windows actually remind us of as well. Just like these windows, there is a story being told through us. Like stained glass windows, our shining tells a story of God's love for all people. Paul in 2 Corinthians says it well. We don't preach ourselves. Instead, we preach about Jesus Christ as Lord, and we describe ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. God said that light would shine out of darkness, and He is the same one who shone in our hearts to give us the light and the knowledge of God's glory in the face of Jesus Christ. Paul is reminding us that the light within us, the light we're invited to share, is a gift of love and grace from God to each and every person. It has been given freely and placed within each and every one of us. We are all capable of sharing light with the world if we will claim and tend to what we carry within us. Our light does need to be tended. Nurturing the divine light within us takes work, even on the good days, let alone on the days when the world can be dark. 2 Corinthians, after reminding us that God has bestowed us with this light to carry, goes on to say that we carry this treasure in clay jars, a reminder that we are imperfect and we are impermanent, and yet God has offered us the best the world can have to carry in who we are. We're imperfect. We're impermanent, just like our windows. Repairing and restoring these nearly 100-year-old stained glass windows has been on the to-do list around here for a long time. I mean, there are places in our windows you can see the light come through that aren't made of glass. We've got windows that are almost lean in an inch in the middle. They just heave under the years of wind and heat. There's a couple we had to take the strings off of because if you open them, we don't know if the whole glass is going to come out when you do. And then there's the whole idea of the plexiglass on the outside. What was once used to protect them now seems to just obscure them. At night, when we turn on the light from within, the beauty doesn't shine like it used to. Like I said, these windows are a heck of a metaphor, aren't they? Because so it can be with us. People are like stained glass windows. Even when we carry that divine light within us, we can find ourselves wearied and worn. Our stories, the stories that we're living, are worthy of being told, worthy of care that will let us shine our light brightly. And so you are invited in these next few weeks to take an opportunity in our conversations and our being together that you might find some restoration for the places where things are worn. Our Lenten journey is an opportunity to be supported and cared for and tended to. And I tell you, sometimes we need more than restoration for the tolls of time. We'd already planned on a full restoration and preservation of our windows when the hailstorm hit a year ago. Golf ball-sized chunks of ice shredded our western windows like tissue paper. Our plans for restoration now needed to include deeper repair, in some cases even replacement of entire panes. And so too it is with us. Sometimes life comes at us like hailstones. We were reminded of such this week. And it's not just in Florida. It's in the countless tragedies and acts of violence that didn't make the news domestically or that we didn't hear about from around the world. I'm even reminded of how life can come at us like hailstones in our prayer time every single week as we listen to what's going on in the lives around us. The diagnoses and illnesses, the job losses, the personal struggles with anxiety, depression, addiction, the broken relationships, the stress. Sometimes it feels like there is a hole where there should be something beautiful. People are like stained glass windows. But I tell you, that's not the end of the story. Our scripture from 2 Corinthians speaks to such moments. As I read earlier, the scripture continues. We are experiencing all kinds of trouble, but we aren't crushed. We are perplexed, but we are not driven to despair. We may be harassed, but we are not abandoned. Yes, there are times we are struck down, but we are not destroyed. When the storms of life leave us in pieces, the light still shines. We need not despair. We need not feel abandoned. The light we carry cannot be destroyed. In fact, we are continually made new. In this place, through community, and through experiences of grace together, not only does God invite us to find restoration for the places we might feel worn, not only will God tend to and repair our places of brokenness, but in addition to that restoration and to that repair, this is a place of recreation. I tell you, I came over while some of the hail was still falling, and there was glass and there was ice 20, 30 feet into the sanctuary. There were chunks of glass in the middle aisle. It had been hit so hard. Some of the shards were the size of fingernails. There were pieces the size of my palm. But that's not the end of the story. For just as the creative, loving grace of God works to bring forth beauty in the darkness, those same shards of glass were graced with creative, loving hands to bring forth their beauty as well. Is he going to do it? I push the button. You turn on. There we go. This is what God does in this place. To us, with us, through us. The little pieces of glass that used to be in those windows now find themselves here and here and here. God takes our places of brokenness and will create new things with us, surrounding us with the love and grace necessary. This is what God does in this place, to us and with us and through us. A restoration and a reclaiming of our possibility and a beauty that cannot be destroyed by wear or tear in life. We are blessed with a constant recreation that allows the light within us to tell a story of grace and love. For this true beauty that is revealed by the light within, it doesn't have to be perfect, but instead can be a mosaic of all of the ways we continue to shine whatever life brings. Amen.